wondering, how long had Gene been in the ministry? I knew him in 1977, so I knew he'd been in it a little longer, so thank you. This morning, well, go ahead and turn to John 8. And this morning, we've heard about Jesus being the light. We've heard about walking in his love. And the Lord really laid the subject of walk on my heart months ago. And so I looked it up. And, you know, all these walks, it is walking in Christ. The reason there's so many of them is it's teaching us the different attributes of Christ and what we're walking in. Because we have walk in newness of life. We have walk after the Spirit, in the Spirit. Walk honestly. Walk as the Lord has called us. Walk by faith. I've got at least 15 listed here. And the one that really the Lord laid on my heart for today is walk in the light. And in Ephesians 5:8, we see, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So John chapter 8, verse 10, we're going to see coming out of darkness into light, because we have the woman of adultery there. And verse 10 says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? She was getting ready to be stoned. And he says, hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. She's forgiven. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Jesus was the only one there present that could have condemned her, because he was sinless and is sinless. But he said, go and sin no more. That go, it means to traverse. It means travel. It means to journey. It means to walk. So he's telling her, walk in me and sin no more. Sin no more. Why would Jesus give her those instructions, that commandment, if it were not possible? If it wasn't possible, what does that mean? That means Jesus would have been a liar. And we know Jesus cannot lie. She was forgiven of her sin, and she was to live a life for Christ without sin. Christ has made that way for each and every one of us. But to understand how this is possible, we have to read the next verse, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus declares in this verse that he is the light. And anyone that follows him shall not walk in darkness. It's impossible. This word walk in verse 12, where it says, shall not walk in darkness. That word walk, it means to be subject to error or sin. Walking in darkness makes one a follower of error and sin. As born-again believers, we become children of the light, as we read there in Ephesians 5:8. That is our standing in Christ. It is unchangeable. But to be an Ephesian saint and take our place in the heavenlies, we are all called to take our place there. But have we heard the call? That's what makes the difference in the church, in the believers. Those that have heard the call take their seat in the heavenlies with Christ. That seat in the heavenlies, we have to choose to walk in the light for that to happen. Jesus must be first. So this is our state of walking in the light. And it brings that purification that is necessary in us. That is our state. That is ever changing. And that is with every step that we take walking in the light, from glory to glory. It will bring our state up to our standing. As we dedicate our life to the Lord, we submit to Him. And the day we are called home, His work is finished. Now, verse 12 again, it says, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that loveth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now some say, well, what about David? Go to James 1:12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." David was not, that was not instructions by God when David sinned with Bathsheba. That was a temptation that Satan put before him. God will allow the test. But it is Satan that puts the temptation in front of us. Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness as a man, and it was by Satan. And Jesus was victorious over the devil by the word of God. David should have turned away from that temptation. David did not have to sin to bring forth God's will and purpose. That purpose ultimately was the lineage line of Jesus. But what David should have done was turn away. But what we learn from David is, if we do falter, praise God, we have a loving Heavenly Father that will show grace and mercy. If we listen, have a listening ear for His correction, and accept that correction and ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to show us His love, His love and grace, through the lesson that we might learn through the temptation of our sin. But to say God tempted David, that is blasphemy, because of what we read there in James 1:13. It said, again, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now, John 8:11, we read, "Go or walk or follow Jesus." Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 17:20, "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." This mountain are those things in our life we need healing from. And that can be many things. Things that maybe we need to overcome. Mountains in the scripture represent kingdoms. In a Christian spiritual life, this would be strongholds. And 2 Corinthians 10, if you want to turn there, verse 1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Paul and those that were with him in the ministry, they're being accused of operating by the old creation. But note verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." That walk in the flesh, that's these physical bodies that we're journeying through in this world. But he says, we do not war after the flesh. We need to pay attention to that word flesh, because it can mean two different things, as it does in this verse. The first, as I said, is speaking of our physical body. This second one is speaking of the old creation. And he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds means castles. It means fortress. We cannot fight this spiritual warfare with weapons of the natural. Our weapons are spiritual. God's word is the weapon of this spiritual warfare and must be operated in faith. We see that in Ephesians 6. And I would add, because we also see that in Ephesians 6, that prayer is part of that armor. And that is also our weapon of warfare. I truly believe that, because we must be in communication with the Lord. So, if our faith is but the size of a mustard seed, that is just the tiniest little seed. Even with that small amount of faith, it's amazing what he can do in our life. Nothing's impossible for him. Jesus, for him to accomplish whatever he would want in our life. Go, walk, and sin no more. It is our choice to choose the light or darkness, even as Christians. Our weapons, they are mighty through God. And it is by the power of God, these strongholds, these castles and kingdoms are conquered in our lives. Paul described these strongholds. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." By his power, we overcome these things, all these things. Go and sin no more. Back to John 8. So, put yourself in the position of this woman. she's been living in darkness. And now all of a sudden, the light is standing before her, Jesus Christ. And he has forgiven her. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I am sure that this woman didn't leave the presence of Jesus at that time. I'm very confident. His command was to go, that is to walk in him. But also, I am confident she is so amazed at what has just happened in her life. And that he is there before her. She couldn't leave his presence. No one among her accusers cast a stone, but instead they retreated. They were gone. I am sure she wanted to hear more about this Jesus that she just came to know. So look at verse 12 again, because he goes into detail for his disciples and for whoever would listen. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That word follow, it means accompany. To be his disciple, meaning to be a learner, a pupil. Light of life, that light that to shine or make manifest, especially by rays. So, and this life is eternal life. It's provided to us by Jesus Christ. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So following Jesus, we are walking in his light. We are growing in truth. That light shines forth his everlasting life that has been given to us and planted within us. The light is the vehicle the world sees. They see Jesus through us in that light. And our walk is our testimony in this life. In John 11, Jesus describes walking in the day versus the night. It's the same. It's the same as walking in the light versus darkness. John 11:7 says, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. By following Jesus, we are sure-footed. Sure-footed like the deer. Psalms 18:32, it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds or deer's feet and sitteth me upon my high places. Our feet is speaking of our walk. And God is, he is able to make our way perfect. Because why? Because we're following Jesus. This is not self-works, but rather we are yielding to God. We are submitting and obeying him. The Apostle Paul instructs in Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having our feet shod is walking in the light. In God's word, being prepared with readiness. That is in instant, in season, and out. This word preparation, it means readiness. We can be confident in the Lord that he will have us ready at all times when we are walking in him, walking in the light. It is his word, the gospel, that we find peace, even in the heat of the battle. When in the word of God, and that's the key, being in the word of God, he will give us peace. We will find rest in him. We will walk sure-footed and sit with him in the heavenlies. We find our confidence in him as we move forward, walking in him. And to close, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This path means our course. When walking in the light, we will be directed down this path that God has chosen for each and every one of us, and it's going to be according to his will. When walking in the light, the Lord will illuminate that path, that we will know where he wants us to go. And the thing we must remember is he has selected that path for us, and we don't need to fear what comes our way down that path. He says, fear not. Amen. Okay, let's close with it.